Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, Lucky here. It's the Pat and JT podcast.
Pat and JT podcast.
It's Pat and JT on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook. And make sure you rate, review, subscribe, leave a 5-star lasagna review, comment would be very, very nice. We appreciate
Always like those. Always like those.
We do.
And while we're at it, we want to also thank Centris Federal Credit Union. God, I got a little frog in my throat this morning. What the heck?
I did too when I woke up. Like froggy. What? I don't know why.
What the heck is that? Anywho.
Frogs are back. They think it's spring, so all the frogs are back.
Well, I mean, seriously, the weather, I hate being such a Midwesterner, the weather, but it is absolutely crazy. We've got another week of this 50s and 60s stuff.
Yeah.
It's like we're complaining, but it was just, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. They had tornadoes and stuff predicted for today in eastern Iowa.
Yeah. We're constantly in the Midwest, constantly in an abusive relationship with Mother Nature, because it's always like we're always walking on eggshells, waiting for the other shoe to drop and being quiet and all that stuff. So we're just kind of a little timid.
And it's been a minute since it's been, you know, really, really like bad spring weather. But we know what it can be like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, we still have vivid memories. And then seeing the forecast they had for eastern Iowa, Illinois, They're talking hail, tornadoes. It was a big red mass over the top of them forecast for today. And it's like, God, that's usually us. And it's all seemingly shifted east and southeast of us. But still, you just never know when all of a sudden she's just going to give you a little reminder.
Yeah. Like, hey, poke, poke. I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
So anyway, for first and foremost, Centris Federal Credit Union, this month, they're kind of talking about comparing and contrasting between them and banks and what is really the difference. And you wonder why somebody joins a credit union. Credit unions, that's the very reason, is because they are member owned, which means that they really do concentrate on providing the members with the best products that they possibly can and aren't necessarily focused on maximizing stockholder earnings, where that's just a line in a page. So it seriously is about the members. It seriously is. So if you're looking to find out more about that, their website's a great place to start. 15 branch locations if you want to walk in. They'd love to sit down and talk to you. Federally insured NCUA, equal housing lender.
CentrisFCU.org and call them at 402-334-7000.
All right. So I'm going to start with you because this is a little bit darker. And so you get to lead the show today.
I bring the dark.
I bring the dark.
I wasn't going to do this weekend, but we started and couldn't stop. Beth and I watched all episodes of the Wendy Williams documentary. Where is Wendy Williams?
I didn't realize all four were out.
Yeah, I didn't either. And there they were and watched them all. And I tell you what, that is dark. It is sad. It was interesting though, because there are many times during the first 3.5 episodes that I'm like, why on earth are they still filming? Like you can obviously tell there's something wrong, something going on. It seemed exploitative. It seemed almost like they were encouraging her for this behavior, you know? And then they kind of wrapped it up and it shifted a little bit where it was like, and they even said this, and I remember the director said this, kind of alluded to it on Melissa Rivers' episode, that it turned from a, hey, Wendy Williams is back, to we need to expose this to for what she's experiencing in her life and the people around her. Like, she has no support. She has people that are exploiting her. Her publicist is, from what they showed in the documentary, either extremely stupid or a terrible person. That publicist knows exactly, like, giving her alcohol when people around her are saying, don't give her alcohol, taking her to Los Angeles to meet to NBC executives to bring Wendy Williams back on TV. It's like, you know, she's not getting a TV show, but she wouldn't tell her no. And because she didn't want to get fired. And so, I don't know. It was really bad to see the Wendy Williams treatment, and the people around her didn't have her best interests in mind most of the time.
Well, is this, does this start in 22, like right after she got her guardianship? Because the guardianship, from what I'm kind of like digging around a little bit as we're talking, but also a little bit before that, the guardianship was kind of the result of, remember we talked about the whole Wells Fargo or the big bank connection, and that the bank was suspicious about activity that was going on. And they were the ones that at first she was placed under temporary financial guardianship because the bank claimed in court that she was, in 22, an incapacitated person and, quote, the victim of undue influence and financial exploitation.
Yeah. They talked about the Guardian a lot. They talked about the Guardian a lot, and they talked about Wells Fargo a lot. And she was kept saying that Wells Fargo has her money. I have no money. It's at Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo won't give it to me. The Guardian this, the Guardian that. So they did talk about that quite a bit.
And so her guardianship, when it started, and there was a quote in there also, because she was going back to TV. She went through the divorce. Then she started drinking a lot after the she was going through that, right? Not that everything's connected, but just to put a timeline to it. And then the money thing was, I have no money. And she said, and I can tell you something, if this could happen to me, it can happen to you. She had a lot of money and now she had no money. Right. And did she really have no money or did, she or didn't was
have,
it? The-
she didn't have access to it is what I, is what I got from it, that she does have money. It was just probably, thank goodness, Wells Fargo said something or did something because
they thought someone else was messing in her funds.
Well, and they even brought this up a little bit too, is that her son, Kevin, was a year ago, year and a half ago, kind of got in a little bit of trouble for taking $100,000 out of his mom's account. But she said, and even the people around her had said, that that's what she always told him to do. Like, it doesn't matter. Just as my money is your money. So if you need something, if you, whatever, for whatever reason, ask me or just take the money. So like him doing that wasn't out of character for their relationship, but it kind of threw up a red flag. And I don't know if that was one of the catalysts for guardianship.
Right.
They thought that maybe
because he didn't tell her about it,
she didn't remember. You know, there were a couple scenes that were really difficult to watch when she was needing a new vape pen, and she had a specific place she wanted to go, and it's right by her old studio, and she was, you know, a sign obviously of dementia, verbally abusing her driver and her publicist. And wanting to go to the vape shop, and she wasn't the right vape shop. What was the right vape shop? So she made them drive around the corner again and go back to the same vape shop, and that was the right same vape shop. Just verbally abusing them, going in, couldn't remember. She would go, her assistant or whatever would go buy the vape pen that she'd always get, and then she would get verbally assaulted when she got back in the car because it wasn't the right one, but it was the right one. You know, and then scenes like that were really difficult to watch. You know,
it almost exploitation against comes in sensationalistic.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Keep it. You know, you can just almost hear the dirty director. That's a good one.
At one point, though, the director, she walked up to, it might have been when this was going on, because they were on the side of the street for so long. They're in a vehicle, and the director came up and said, "Hey, Wendy," because the crew in the back seat, Wendy was sitting in the middle. It was like a Tahoe. And there was two guys, audio guys in the back. And the director came up and said, "Okay, we're gonna go now. You know, we can't be here any longer. So we got to let the guys out of the back seat, and we're not going to record anymore today." And this was in the heat of what this craziness that was going on. So I think I think the director kind of started seeing something there, like, okay, we don't need to be doing this right now. We don't need to be recording this. And so the guys got out and they cut.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The guardianship that she has, I'm trying to remember they said that the guardianship conservatorship, which is set up because they can no longer manage their affairs due to illness. And some other, and they mentioned some of the other celebrities. This is an NPR article that came out actually about it a couple of days ago, talking about Britney Spears, Amanda Bynes, Michael Orr, Brian Wilson, you know, that have been placed under guardianships, but there are several different kinds. And due to her court documents being sealed, it's unclear which one she's under, but they vary depending on the person.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody was appointed as guardian, so it's not a family member. Right. Because Kevin said he was no longer in that position. Kevin Jr.
Yeah.
Could no longer do that. So it's hard to say, but something else too, I didn't realize she has Graves' disease as well, which is an autoimmune disorder affecting the thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And the aphasia affects the ability to speak and understand speech. And then they just announced the primary progressive aphasia with frontotemporal dementia. So
yeah,
awful.
Well, and I didn't remember this. Maybe you remembered when she was on TMZ Live. What was it? It was like 18 months ago or 2 years ago. And that's where she showed her feet on TMZ Live. And her sister was on the documentary last episode. And she wasn't on it till the very end. And she just said that there is no one around. She said, I don't care about her money. I just want people around her that protect her. She was she should have had someone with her that said, no, absolutely. You are not doing this interview and you are not showing your feet at all. And that's what she wanted to do. And she showed her feet in the NBC meeting to pitch a show. Cause that's what she wanted. She wanted in her new show to wear like t-shirts and no shoes and be who she was. Like, and there was nobody around her that would say, you know what, that's probably not a good idea. Not a good look.
Also, and I think your sister was one that said it, that there's no version of Wendy Williams before this affliction that would have ever consented to doing any of that.
Yeah. Right.
That was so out of character. And then obviously those pictures are everywhere of her feet, which is really sad because it was on one side, I get it that, you know, on the other side, maybe it kind of drives home for some people. Oh,
mm-hmm.
This is really bad because they can see a physical side to it as opposed to it all being mental.
Yeah.
That she's also suffering from physical effects of she's got several things going on. I mean, it's like, it's not just one thing, for God's sake. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Wow. That's something. When we talked before and she talked about, I think she has like 6 or 7 books out, for God's sake. I didn't even know that either, but she had one of her very first books was when she was still working in radio or just starting to make the trend. I think she was still just in radio. And I remember it said that she had, when she was a kid, she was the announcer for her brother's baseball games.
Oh, that's cool.
That was like how she first started behind the microphone.
That's cool.
How rare and, you know, and kind of foreshadowing, mm-hmm. I guess, to a degree, because it is so rare to see any, a woman, period, as the park announcer.
Yeah, right.
It just doesn't happen very often. It does happen.
Her dad, they had her dad on too, and he said that he remembers when she was little, like a little kid, saying that she wanted to be on the radio. So that's all I want to do is be on the radio. And I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's crazy. But she was a television anchor at one point, I think, maybe just for like a hot minute, and went to Northeastern University. But she, that reading the stuff up on her, sadly, for a lot of people, it's the first introduction to her. And everybody just knows her as the crazy TV lady that passed out on her show.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was their first time of seeing her.
Yeah, right.
And there was a lot of history.
Unfortunately.
Before that ever happened. She's what, 57?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So you watched The Heavy this weekend. I didn't even look. I literally had thought about it on Friday. Excuse me. And I'm like, I don't know if I can go there. I don't know if I can, you know, if I want to just watch this. And so I took the lighter road and watched what was the first one? It was called The Truth About Jim.
Okay.
Which is a documentary that's on HBO right now, or Max, whatever you want to call it. I was like, I hate all these changing Twitter. Oh, no, X, HBO, no, Max, whatever. Everybody keeps changing names. Anyway,
my name is Steve now. It's not Pat.
You're right. It's formerly known as Pat.
Yeah.
But anyway, and it's about a granddaughter and her grandfather would have been in his late 20s, early 30s, like in the late 60s, like say around 1970. Right. So he would have been late 20s about that time. and trying to figure out if her grandfather was a serial murderer in California, and all the clues that were there and all the things that were there. It was like a four-part deal, four Ooh, episodes.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It kind of is like, some people loved it, some people hated it. I didn't hate it. It was not bad. It really wasn't. I can see why she went down this road. And I can see after talking to her mom, and then she talked to her grandmother, and then talked to an ex-wife, and then she's got step cousins, so to speak, or whatever, aunts and uncles, and just some of the, it was really interesting. But yeah, it was really interesting. It really was.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
And this just how she went about investigating it, and then finally pulling in a real investigator, because she was like overwhelmed. Because it was kind of like around the time of the Boston's, not the Boston Strangler, which was the Red River Strangler, right? Was that another one that was out there? And it kind of dovetailed into, and then there was another name for this other one that happened in the same city that he lived, and around the same time that he was there. And it was just so many coincidences.
Yeah.
It was really creepy. And then you start thinking, how would you feel if that popped up in your family tree? And all of a sudden you had somebody in your family tree where there were serious questions.
That'd be weird. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
It was very good. And then the other bright light of my weekend was watching True Detective Night Country with Jodie Foster.
I haven't heard anything about it. I loved True Detective back in the day.
The other three, Matthew McConaughey was in the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was.
Wasn't it Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson?
I think it was. Yeah. The guys who probably are brothers.
Yeah.
Right. I think they have the same dad, right?
They are kind of related.
I think there's a rumor that there's a real possibility that's true.
It was like distant something.
Now I gotta look it up. But anyway, okay, god dang it. But anyway, it's with Jodie Foster. And there's some dark humor. I like her, mm-hmm. period. I absolutely was. It was really, I liked it. I know some people weren't as ecstatic about it too. Again, it's just one of those things, but it's just an easy follow. It's four episodes. But it was good, but it takes a little suspension of belief when you're watching it. It takes place in some imaginary town in Alaska.
Okay.
It starts on the first night of darkness because, you know, the sun goes down. It doesn't come back up for a few months.
Yeah.
And so that kind of sets the scene. And to answer your question about whether or not Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson could be brothers. So Woody Harrelson now has doubled down on the theory that they actually are brothers in real life. There's a story that's out there. And this actually came out just late last year. And it just said that Woody claims that McConaughey was born in 69. Woody Harrelson. So he's 53 and Harrelson is 61. McConaughey is 53. Whatever, that's their ages. They're 53 and 61. McConaughey's father refused to go to the hospital with McConaughey's mother, telling her, "That ain't my son." And apparently, there's some truth to this, that both the dads knew would have been what? Woody's mom?
Woody's mom.
So the dad knew Woody's dad is the father of both. That's what it is. Woody's dad is the father of both.
Interesting.
Because Matthew McConaughey's father didn't go when he was born because he said, "That ain't my son."
Okay. Well,
so there's some rumor. Apparently they were in the same circles.
I mean, it's strange.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, that would be crazy. But
I want them to do a DNA test on a TV show.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, that one show that used to be on, what was it, PBS or something?
Who do you think you are?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still out there, something like it. There's still a show like that.
So. They should do it. It'd be awesome.
So there's that. Right. And that's kind of really that's what I did. That was my, and then the other thing being that there was a new baby elephant at the zoo.
Oh, super cute.
And I think, did they name him, was it Rondo?
Rondo
or something like that. I think there's a reason behind it. I can't remember. Carrie Moorfield, Dr. Moorfield is the one who she was publishing, of course, because she has her elephant foundation, for elephants. And Hondo. That's the name of it, because awesome. The name translates to the name warrior, or fighter.
Okay.
So he already is at 250 pounds.
Oh man, yeah. They and they had, I'm sure, eat how many pounds of food a day?
Right.
I'm sure.
He's still hanging out with mama, and then there's a 6 month old Amanda and another 1 year old and a couple 2 year olds that are there too. But Dr. Moorfield has been kind of a part of some of this activity that's been going on.
Amanda is the name of one of the elephants. So,
yes.
So Hondo gets one that's meant for like warriors and fighters, and then we have Amanda.
I don't know what Amanda is. There should be a Brenda.
Yeah, there should be a Brenda or something.
Brenda Kevin. All right, that's all I got.
All right, thank you guys for listening. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Have a great day.
Pat and JT Podcast, a Huda Media Production.